Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Give it to me.
Hi, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where any dispute or claim rising out of or relating to these things, your use of the podcast or your relationship with Tom and Molly or any past, present, or future subsidiary, parent, or affiliate podcast or podcasts, whether based in contract, tort, statute, fraud, misrepresentation, or any other legal theory, will be resolved through binding individual arbitration, except that either of us may take a dispute to small claims court so long as it isn't removed or appealed to a court of general jurisdiction. Thanks for joining us.
And, of course, all of you will recognize that as the Starbucks Terms of Service.
Apparently, Starbucks learned from that Seinfeld episode with the really hot coffee, and you can't sue them. You will go to arbitration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Starbucks. Yep.
This is pretty boilerplate, to be honest. I'm not shocked to find this in Starbucks Terms of Service. This is probably, if you do a search, in most Terms of Service,
I'm going to guess. This is like they use NOLO. Is this for the website? Yeah. I wonder. I bet it is. Anyway.
Oh, it's
anyway,
probably. Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving in the U.S. We
to the
are
Usins
recording this the day
in the
before.
Audience, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. To the Usins. Is that what you said? To the Usins?
Yeah. Yeah. People in the USA. Usins.
I believe that all U.S. Americans. Remember that?
U.S. Americans.
You remember that lady? Yep, such as, yep. With the such as.
And such as.
And
oh my
such
gosh,
as.
Yeah, I'd forgotten all about her.
Every U.S. American. It circulated again recently. It came back around.
Really?
It made a bit. You're never too old. Yeah.
Good times, good times. The internet is old, it turns out. It has history. It has depth.
It is old. Much like us.
But we are going to keep you young on this show by keeping you up to date. And many of you know this term, but we just want to have it up for the record and introduce those who don't know the term eight to mean something was accomplished very well.
Yes.
As now, in it technically, according to Urban Dictionary, just means did that. But its implication, its usage is usually like to perform a task extremely well.
Yes, exactly. That they have listed as the second definition on Urban Dictionary, but it has really, at this point, evolved into fully that usage. And in fact, my favorite variation I just saw, it's in Urban Dictionary, but my favorite variation that I've seen recently was she ate and left no crumbs.
Yeah, left no crumbs. That's it. Yeah, like, I like that one too.
Yeah, left no crumbs has been add on. But yes, we are talking about ate as in the past tense of eat. Which when we were growing up and were like little skateboarders or whatever, eat it was a bad thing. Or he ate
Molly
it.
Molly ate
he
it.
Fell down.
Yeah. Right.
It was like snowboarding lingo. But now somehow it has become a
but
good
now
thing.
It's Molly ate the stage means Molly rocked out while giving her talk at a seminar, I guess, would be
I
the stage
so.
You're on.
He ate that. And I hear my, I
oh,
hear
ate.
My kid.
You totally ate.
I hear my kid do it all the time. We literally had to put a pin in this because I have been having lots of dinners with my son and his girlfriend, which is the greatest thing ever. I'm scared to say it. Like, I don't want to jinx it or whatever, but they just literally sit there and they like, well, you know, he'll watch a basketball video. He ate that. Oh yeah. She ate that. Oh, he ate and he left no crumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. And how appropriate for the day before Thanksgiving.
Do they ever finish dinner and compliment the chef by saying you ate?
You ate. We ate what you ate.
Or if you eat so well, can you say, wow, you ate?
No.
No.
Okay. No. That's the point at which the Gen Z at your table will be like.
They will get up and leave.
Yeah. Like, you have no riz.
get the riz.
I'm going to give you all permission to turn this into like the dad joke of all dad jokes at Thanksgiving. Like, feel free.
Oh yeah, take it and run. Go for
free.
It. Yeah. Or my I think the move is to just subtly work it in an appropriate manner. Look for the most appropriate manner. Maybe you're watching the football game and there's a particularly great play and go, oh, he ate. And then just watch for the reactions.
Yes. Just you gotta be cool about it. Like you do. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Also, hold on. Apparently, I'm not Do Not Disturb. Let's just fix that.
That was your son texting you. No, he cannot say it that way.
No, stop. Please stop saying it like that. No, you
please,
cannot.
Please stop. For the love of
everything.
Ate
and left no crumbs.
I love left no crumbs. That's a good extra.
I really do. It's actually like it somehow it takes it from. And also, if you just say like he ate, or. It gets swallowed, no pun intended, and you can't understand what someone said. But if they say ate and left no crumbs, then it starts to make sense, even though it doesn't make sense anyway. It makes sense.
Yeah. If he left his get out for the Rizzler, he might eat, ate, and left no crumbs.
Yeah, that.
That's all right, a sentence.
So I have seen this, my first thing today, all over. And as is so often the case, it was only in researching why for this show that I discovered that it's a thing in a way that I didn't even expect. So the thing itself is
thing inside a fish.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rubros. It's a matryoshka. It's a matryoshka of things.
Yeah.
Matryoshka. It's ashwagandha is the thing.
Bless you.
And ashwagandha, exactly, is an herb that is classified as what is known as an adaptogen. And adaptogens are also a thing right now. This idea that there are herbs that calm you down. That's basically what an adaptogen is. That they are supposed to improve your body's ability to cope with stress. Ashwagandha is believed to do all of this. You sometimes see it, like you actually see it in like menopause formulations. It comes as just a little dropper. I mean, I've used it for sleep actually, and it really works. I mean, I have like a super sensitive, weird little body. And so things like that just make me go to sleep. Ashwagandha is supposed to be anti-inflammatory and all of these wonderful things. Reset your circadian rhythm. It's like magical. And then I was like, why am I seeing it? This is just everywhere. Why am I seeing this everywhere? And then I realized that evidently TikTokers call it glizzy pills.
That's better. I like that.
Glizzy.
Yeah.
Because apparently they think that it's good for libido.
Riz, ziz, and glizz.
Glizzy. Glizzy pills. Now, and I had to look that up. I was like, what? What do you mean glizzy pills? Evidently, ashwagandha is supposed to increase testosterone levels in men, they think.
Okay.
And increase libido overall. There was like a headline that I came across about penis size. Like, I think they think this thing can do all kinds of stuff.
I mean, put out a medicine and somebody will turn it into an ad for penis size. That's just a rule of the internet.
Exactly. I mean, it's been around in Ayurvedic healing forever. Like ashwagandha.
Yeah, I have
is,
no doubt, you know, that this is a real herb with real remedies. Whether it absolutely does all the things that people want it to do may or may not true. But these kinds of herbs generally do have anti-inflammatory properties. That's pretty common.
Yeah,
it feels very similar to ginseng, which I know it's called the Indian ginseng in this article from the New York Post. But ginseng has like real actual medicinal properties that go back, you know, centuries. But also people try to claim ginseng does things that it doesn't as well.
So right, exactly. Yeah. And ashwagandha seems to be in exactly the same category where it has real, you know, they've done placebo studies and they found slight reductions in depression and anxiety and blood pressure and you know, all the things that you would expect from something that is anti-inflammatory. I mean, I think what we're learning is that inflammation is everything. And, you know, so as to the – but it explains why – because I was like, my God, why is this everywhere? All of a sudden it's like it's the new CBD, right? It's in drinks and it's in this and that and da-da-da. And I'm like, oh,
this
look
is a great
at that.
One.
It's
oh,
a good
thank
one.
Thank you for this.
Yeah, you're going to see it. Also, honestly, I take one little dropper of this and I'm out like trout.
Ashwagandha. Good night, ya.
So
it makes you sleepy.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I've taken it during the day when I'm awake, and I do feel a bit of a calming effect. Like, it's hard to explain it. It's more like what I'll notice is that all of a sudden I'm like, I feel fine. Like, I don't feel a physical effect. I just sort of all of a sudden I'm sitting there like, I feel good.
Which, if you have a little bit of low-level inflammation, it makes you nervous. It makes you feel like it's very often expresses as nervous energy. Mm-hmm. And if this combats that inflammation down, then suddenly you'd feel calm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fan.
I like it.
I mean, I haven't tried the
other thing. I don't know about calling it glizzy pills, but I'm in.
Now it's like a little bit dead to me because that's so uncomfortable, but you know.
Yeah.
No matter what though, whatever it's for, it's a thing.
Okay, so here's going to be one of my tests of the level. I have ashwagandha is a thing. I'm not doubting that in any way, shape, or form. But ginseng got so big that the Turleys in southern Illinois started a ginseng farm. And it's like, wow, ginseng has really penetrated the consciousness. If a small farm in southern Illinois is growing ginseng, if I go back to Greenville sometime and I see the Turleys have started farming ashwagandha, I'll let you know.
Then there you go.
All right. Well, I am very glad to hear that your Gen Z son has been able to find someone to spend time with without having to rely on a dating app. But apparently, I don't know. Maybe they did. But apparently, Gen Z is having a hard time finding partners and is abandoning dating apps. An Axios Generation Lab poll found that 79% of college students do not use dating apps regularly. They're just like, it's too much of a mess. You don't find anyone. No one swipes properly. I'm just going to meet people in person.
Yeah. This is such a thing. I have heard this coming up over and over, and I don't think it's just Gen Z. Like, millennials are leaving. I mean, apparently it's just going to be olds on the dating apps.
I was going to say, apparently the boomers are the only ones like that are Facebook. Sticking around on the apps. Yeah, yeah.
It's literally just like Facebook, which is hysterical. It is. Everyone is talking about this, actually, that the dating apps are just... And they are, in fact... It's interesting because they're kind of in the same category as just social media writ large. Like, they make you feel crappy. Mm-hmm. Nobody on there is real. It's all bots and stuff. You're probably going to get scammed. It's a waste of time. It's a way to waste a bunch of time, like window shopping. But yeah, this is a huge trend. And it's super interesting because it seems to also kind of maybe coincide with them just not dating as much. Or like, remember there was like stories about how they're not having sex either.
Right, right. But maybe if they can't get the dating apps to work, that would explain why they're not having sex.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if this also, I mean, it's funny that all this is being written and nobody's mentioning that like there was a pandemic and now there's not. Like, now they're back at bars. So there could be that too, that they actually
there's sort
just
of that excitement of like, ooh, I could actually see people in person. This is really fun. Let me just do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just actually genuinely got terrible.
I think they always were. I don't know that they were ever great. I never really used them, so I really have no standing to say. But I do think that the millennials who really powered the rise of dating apps probably liked them because they were new and it was technology and it was hip, right? Ooh, let's try the dating apps. It's something the old people are skeptical about. Then the millennials get older. The old people get comfortable with Facebook and the dating apps. It's no longer cool. So the younger folks, the Gen Z folks, aren't looking at it as like, oh, this is the new cool way to do things. They're looking at it as this is the way all the adults do it. And that, you know, takes the rose-colored glasses off and they're like, and it's really crappy. Like, I'm not going to pretend this is good. And granted, right. I know there's somebody listening right now who's like, no, I met someone through a dating app and it works. Yes, I also have had a substantial conversation on Twitter. Like, it can happen, but it doesn't mean it's the norm.
I think some of that may be the case. And also, I mean, I think all of that is the case. No question. These things got old, right? But as with everything, I think it's also it is inclusive of the distorting effects of scale. So you started to really genuinely get a lot of like bots and scams on some of these things. Oh,
yeah. Which is also a social networking parallel, right? Like, when it was small, it was fun, but then everybody came. Yeah.
Scale screwed it up. Like, scale screws up everything, honestly. The need to make money screwed them up. Because then there's this built in, like, you have to pay for this, and there's all these little upcharges, and they're very, very expensive, and you never quite feel like you're getting your money's worth because love is hard to program. And then I think there is a sociological aspect to it. I think that these apps did change the way people date. And so what some of this backlash is about is not just about the user experience, the irritation of scale, the constant upcharging, the cost. It's also about the fact that they created this expectation and behavior set around disposability of humans. Like, you just swipe left, and it's super surface level, and, you know, it's just no, 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 no. There are all these behaviors that became built into dating apps, like you chat with someone and then disappear. And so people complain about ghosting. And like, if you spend enough time on dating apps, you see people complaining about all the things that make them suck. And it's very interesting, because I think that they were so impactful that they changed society a little bit. And now people don't like that too.
Yeah.
And so they're just trying to figure out how to, like, return to more meaningful, trustworthy connections.
I think if they worked, right? If you were like, oh, you know, but I find people.
I also think they have worked. I know a lot. I mean, this is how people meet now, or was. But I think people are suspicious too. They're like, these dating apps only exist to make you not find a partner, because that's not their business model. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted. If they worked.
No, I was going to say, like, I think one of the issues is that, you wouldn't mind paying. You wouldn't even mind the annoying upcharges if you're like, I get such great dates out of it. Right.
Right.
The scale could cut both ways. Scale could be great if it's like, man, more people are using this, and so there's more wonderful options. But it's like, neither one of those are true. So that points to your third thing, which is like, so this isn't working well. Right. This is not something people are enjoying. They're not being satisfied by using it, or those things would not be as much of a negative as they are.
And maybe actually there was a brief moment in time when they did work pretty well, and then they stopped working. And then that's what, you know, it's like, because then it was a reasonable size pool. It was people who were all looking for the same thing. And then it just kind of got ugly, and now everyone hates it.
Because they do. You're right. They still work for a lot of people. They just don't work the way a lot of people want them to work.
And the transaction cost is very high. Let's just say, metaphorically speaking.
Also, I had the thought when you were talking earlier that, like, maybe when people went to meet in person, they found there was less competition because the dating apps pulled a bunch of people out of the dating pool.
Maybe. And they were like, wait, this is awesome.
Hey, this is great.
I actually prefer this instead. It is just really interesting, like, everything old is new again, and it might just be that, like, meeting in person is new again.
What a concept. Because there'll be some generative model that becomes really, like, great at picking mates. Like, oh yeah, the old stuff never worked, but this really works. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see that. Yeah,
that could happen. Okay, we have now reached the moment that I have been waiting for. Like, arguably for, like, several decades, at least two, but certainly since the inception of the show, I cannot believe, and this will explain why I have, like, dark lipstick, big gold hoops, messy hair, and a black sweatshirt on right now, because I'm returning to the glory days when Creed is a thing.
Wait, Creed's a thing again?
Creed is a thing again!
No!
Creed is a thing!
Wow. Yeah. Okay. We got to that part of the nostalgia cycle. Yes, I'm amazed. We are here.
Creed, the erstwhile Christian band fronted by troubled frontman Scott Stapp. And frankly, like, this just harkens back to what I still think is one of the funniest episodes we've ever done, when one of our early shout outs were set to the tune of the Creed song Higher. And I sang the whole thing. And look, this is where it all comes out. Like, this is my absolute trashy, dirty, like, a secret pleasure. Like, I love Creed. My brother and I share a love for Creed like you would not even imagine. We had like a Hunter S. Thompson adventure when we drove to a Creed concert in like Marysville, California in 2000 or 2001. Okay, so here's what happened. Some very, very smart people launched a summer of 99 cruise, music cruises, and they called them Creed cruises. And they had like some of the Creed band members, because the band broke up and Mark Tremonti is off doing something and Scott Stapp is like trying to be a solo artist and whatever. And then they had Daughtry, who was also like super freaking awesome artist from that era. And the Creed cruises sold out like this, like over freaking night. And they had like six of them and they had to add more and it just kept getting more and more popular. And so now there's a full on summer of 99 tour. And you better believe that I spent $800 on Creed tickets with the VIP upgrade damn. And the parking pass for my bro Ham and I. And then an article appeared in Vice on November 17th. Headline, hear me out. Creed are finally cool.
Oh, what? Finally. You mean cool
to which
again.
My brother and
Let's
I responded,
just put again out there.
You
yeah.
can go to hell. You could go straight to hell because they always been cool and you just didn't know.
There's a whole
think piece about how Creed is cool again because it's just easy. It's just like simple. It's the sincerity, the simplicity, the olive garden, the sheer olive gardenness of it. And Creed is back and they're freaking awesome. And I can't believe we finally come to the moment when Creed is a thing. I'm so happy.
I feel like this is so long in coming because the first Creed breakup happened in June 2004, a month before I met you.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about Creed constantly.
I was probably pretty upset then.
In Buzz Out Loud terms of like, oh, Creed, I'm sorry they broke up. Oh, Creed, they're doing a reunion, you know, in like 2009 or whatever. You know, like, oh, Creed.
And then I was like,
like weaving its way through the gestalt of our podcasting careers this whole time. And this feels like the culmination, you know, that they are finally returning. And apparently Three Doors Down also
reunited.
Touring with them. Yeah.
Three Doors Down also freaking touring with them. Let me just say, I've been rocking. I created a playlist that I call Midwest Trash, and it's just full of Creed, Daughtry, Three Doors Down, and a little bit of Stained. And it is the sickest thing. And I've just been driving around doing Thanksgiving like errands, just being like, please, would you one time let me be myself? That's Three Doors Down. That's not Creed. Like, I am the happiest girl in the world right now. Barstool
Finger
Sports
11,
just tweeted.
Daughtry, Switchfoot, Tonic, and Big Wreck on select dates joining the band as well.
You guys. I'm so excited. We're seeing them in Wheatland, California, which is like somewhere near Marysville and Yuba City. We're going to be reliving some version of this, except hopefully without the car breakdown and getting rescued by a guy in a Camaro with a mullet named Earl. I swear to God. He was like, call the auto shop in the morning and tell him Earl sent you. Like,
that's incredible.
This is the best thing that has happened to me in ages.
Yay!
Can you take me higher?
I want to make an arms wide open joke, but it's like that. It's too small for the moment. The moment is too big for that.
You can make any joke you want because they're cool again.
Welcome back, Creed. You never
welcome
away.
Back.
And
they did
been
reunite
living in Molly's heart.
Like they did, like the summer of 99 tours and have Scott Stapp and Mark Tremonti as a whole band.
Oh my gosh,
they're gonna play Faceless Man. And I'm gonna cry my eyes out. And we're gonna be like, they're not a Christian band, and everyone around us is gonna be wearing crosses, and we're gonna be like, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Like, they're everywhere. Kirk Cousins from the Vikings gave a press conference where he was like, yeah, we're 2-0 when we play Creed in the locker room before a game. Like, they're everywhere.
They're
I'm not
everywhere.
Even making
this
yeah.
up. Yeah. Okay.
They're a thing.
Yeah. This means Y2K is now the dominant gestalt, right? Because Creed is bringing us across the 90s, 2000s barrier.
Yeah. Absolutely, because it was the summer of 99 tour is what they're recreating. Yep. Also, Techno mentioned the Discord points out 20 plus years, and I don't think I've ever heard Molly fangirl this hard.
Unless you've heard her talk about Creed before. No, you have not.
Now you know. My little soul has been bared for all of you. This is the most vulnerable I've ever been on the show.
That's awesome. Offie James. Next up, Korn Revival. Yes.
Ew.
Well, my friends, please support Molly and support Creed.
Get your tickets now to the summer of 99 tour.
I mean, if you can, because they're gone. They're probably gone.
Yeah.
Shall we now get to the other things in our feedback at itsathing.me segment. Edmund let us know that we totally nailed it. Thank you, nice. Edmund. I was listening to episode 290 while making dinner tonight, and I finally got around to searching to see what that COS bag looks like and found this Vogue article, COS Quilted Crossbody Bag, Fall 2003. As usual, you guys are on top of it.
Not you guys, Tom. Like, we have to give Tom all the credit for this fashion thing.
Well, and by Tom, you mean Eileen.
Yes, I do. But either way.
But we were walking around Seoul, and every vendor on the street had that COS bag, or, you know, a version that looked like the COS bag for sale. So it was like drilled into me, just like, oh, yeah, that thing is very much a thing.
I mean, it's crazy, too, because this Vogue article is from, did you already say, it's from the 21st. Like, it's from like 1 minute ago, yesterday.
We are on it.
I want the mini bag because the big one is big.
Yeah.
All right. Jeremy writes in with a Christmas question. I really enjoy the podcast and it keeps me from looking like an old out of touch fool.
Yay. That's what we're here for, Jeremy.
That's what we're going for. I keep seeing this and I need a thing formation. Are the old 70s and 80s plastic light up Christmas decorations a thing now? I've been seeing them everywhere. Think plastic yellowing light up Santas and the snowmen in front yards that punk kids would crack by kicking them when it got too cold. Are you noticing this as well? Thank you. Loving the show from Eternal Summerland, Florida.
Oh my gosh. Whoa. The picture of Santa that he sent is a picture of the Santa we had. We had a snowman and a Santa. Yeah.
Totally.
Like, I have not noticed these, but I bet I will now. And I'm very excited for the idea that these are back.
Me too, because this is so cool. I mean, it's one of those things where you just look at, like, I look at this and I feel at home. I just feel comfortable.
Yeah. No, that definitely means Christmas, just looking at that thing.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
And Jennifer, thank you for connecting the dots. Jennifer writes, Dear Molly, Tom, and Rich, hoping to help illuminate two of your recent things, I wanted to share my perspective on macaroons and young people having less sex. All right. Tell me more, Jennifer.
That's a combo and a half.
I believe the rise in availability of macaroons is due in part to the fact that they are naturally gluten-free, which is a big deal and makes them more universally accessible, as well as their long shelf life, actually, fridge life. Then the fact that they look pretty doesn't hurt, and yum! As for the reduction in sex in young people, I attribute it to two things. First, a significant percentage of young people are on anti-anxiety or antidepressant meds, which have a big effect on your sex drive. Second, laptop use is reducing fertility in males, or there's a strong correlation. So yikes, I don't see it as restraint or good choices, but possibly a decline in overall health. I'm a child and teen counselor and am concerned. Love the show. Love you both. Producer Rich Note. Ouch.
Ouch, indeed.
The laptop thing, I think, is what Rich was responding to.
We have not evaluated these statements. I don't know anything about the laptop thing, but the anti-anxiety and antidepressant meds makes a lot of sense, actually. Yikes.
Well, gee, if only there was an anti-anxiety medication that also increased your libido. Ashwagandha.
Dude. I mean, do we or do we not solve every problem?
Thank you.
In this
show. That's what we're here for.
Just get some Creed tickets and put them in those gift bags and, you know, ashwagandha for the kids. We're doing it all.
Fantastic.
I should have taken a photo when I was in store, but I went to Costco like a dumb on Tuesday where I almost died. And I bought a beautiful package of macarons for my Thanksgiving dessert table.
Very nice. Yeah.
They really are.
Perfect. Yeah.
They're perfect. They're everywhere. I bought some fancy ones for a party over the summer, I think, and I've never seen anything go faster.
Yeah.
So,
because they're small. So people are like, oh, I could eat that.
Yeah.
And they're pretty.
And they're
cheerful. Tasty.
I know. It's
so many good things. Thank you,
amazing.
France.
And thank you, everyone, for the emails. Feedback@itsathing.me is where you can send us your requests for thing formations, your thing spotting, inquire about applying for a THD. a doctorate of thingology. It's a high bar, but go for it.
Yeah.
And thank you, especially to those of you who support the show at patreon.com/itsathing. And most importantly, those of you who support us at the shout out level, because that led to the iconic, moment in which the shout outs were set to Creed's higher lyrics.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is amazing.
If you support us at a particular level, you too could be part of such iconic moments.
We might just sing about it or work it into a 16th century English text. I mean, anything could happen. Done.
Yeah. You never
know. And in fact, today's shout outs, I love, are based on a Wirecutter article about gifts for people who are always cold.
So many things to love about this.
Would you like to read the intro?
Sure. I will read the intro. Here we go. Chances are there's a Mike Akins in your life who sets the temperature at 75 degrees Fahrenheit and still wears multiple layers into the early weeks of June. If you're looking for a gift that AJ Venturella will want to reach for whenever they shiver, from plush Morris Jones and toasty Kevin Sill to heated James C. Smiths and thick flannel Benjamin Forrests, these picks will keep them cozy.
Number one on the list, a clever Lara Abel.
Number two, a bass Eric Duncan that can pass for a regular Joe Hood.
Number three, Jake Woods on the cheap-ish.
Four, our warmest Valor trucks.
Five, a deliciously soft Brian Gianfricaro.
Six, heat up your Gabrielle Cohen in style.
Seven, a wearable Audrey Stoll Adler's spot bag.
And eight, Louis St. Amour for a toasty night's Lee Price.
Ooh, I feel cozier already.
Me too. The most wonderful time of the year.
It really is. You just have to keep them toasty. I also love that what is happening right now in the Discord is people being like, can I get that link though? Because my girlfriend is always cold.
Yeah, just do a search for that if you're not finding the link, but we will try
to put it in there. But it turns out that, by the way, is a pretty evergreen gift list. As I put those words into DuckDuckGo, I got lots of recommendations.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
I think that's a rather common situation that people are in.
I think it might be. Thank you so much, patrons. Thanks for supporting us at the shout out level or any level, patreon.com/itsathing. If you become a member of It's a Thing, you can join us every week in the Discord, chat along live with your fellow fans. You also get an ad-free RSS feed and more.
Indeed. And keep those things coming to us. feedback@itsathing.me. You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for those in our show notes or at our special shopping page. itsathing.me/shop.
Shopping. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye,
once more, and see you next week.
Can't hold it back. Gonna break down now. Can't hold it back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.